Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on August 9th, 2015, and is entitled, A Day of Rest and Worship.
Well, friends, thank you. You may be seated. Let's go ahead and grab hold of our Bibles. What a time. Thank you, worship team. Would you let them know this has been one of those enjoyable presence of the Lord in worship. I've got my Bible. If you did not bring your Bible, you can raise your hand and the ushers will see that empty hand and somewhere along the line, put a Bible in your hand. If you don't have a Bible at home, please feel free to take that with you. That would be wonderful. Just wonderful. Well, here we are again together. I'm going to the book of Exodus chapter 20. You'll find it in this fashion, Genesis, Exodus chapter 20. And we're talking about the title of today's message, A Day of Rest and Worship, the Sabbath. We're dealing with that. Last time we were together, we were looking at the art of going to church. And I'm so excited because so many of us are coming back from vacation. So many of us are finding our way back into the chapel. And so welcome home, everybody. And dear guests, welcome home. You found the place that's happening. We're sure glad that you're here. But it's important for us because we're dealing with a part of the Ten Commandments. How many know Ten Commandments have really been maligned? It's just, there's a debate out there of just not displaying it. It's not relevant anymore. Let's not kind of bring in that church and state mixture. We need to separate that. So people are kind of changing the truth. And it's a big change going on in our nation. What constitutes marriage? What constitutes this? And it's kind of reminding me of Snow White. Remember Snow White and that evil queen that had that mirror on the wall? Remember how that went out? I mean, she went in this regard, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest one of all, you know, kind of like sweet? And then the mirror would say, oh, you are, oh, queen. You know, she's just eating it up. And then she goes in this hideous laugh. And I guess the next day she needed her, you know, self-esteem built up again because that wasn't good enough. And she goes up again, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest one of all, right? And then it lies again. You are, oh, queen. And I guess the next day something happened. The mirror must have got saved because it couldn't lie anymore. And so she goes in there, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest one of all? He basically says, well, I cannot tell a lie, and it's not you, you ugly. And Snow White, what? Freaks out. And what does she do to the mirror? Destroys the mirror. Isn't that just the way it is? Instead of kind of like agreeing to the truth, humanity will come along and say, well, let's just destroy the evidence that's trying to like tell us we could be wrong or in the wrong place. Well, we're taking a look at something from the Ten Commandments. And I think it's just an amazing set of rules that are just so helpful. Our nation needs the Ten Commandments. Isn't it amazing? It's just some simple steps here. It doesn't say what to give and how to give to charity. It really is a way with which, man, all humanity, how to build relationships with people, how to put a marriage together. If you're into doing a corporation, you can do a corporation based on the Ten Commandments. The first four are dealing in our relationship with God. Isn't that true? Have no other gods before me. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. Then it's the fourth one we're looking at today. And keep the Sabbath holy unto the Lord. And then the other six are dealing with people. Isn't that how it is? And make sure that you come along. Scripture's talking about with regards to don't rip off people. Quit talking smack about somebody. I mean, it's just amazing. And it's true because Jesus came alongside. I'm even going to make it easier for you because he came and he started to have people say, well, hey, of the top 10 of the law, which is the greatest commandment? Remember that? And he said in Mark 12, 30, 31, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God's one. This is it. Here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. And love your what? Your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that amazing? I mean, how easy is that? You love God, you're going to easily keep the first four. You love your neighbor, man, the other six, that's a shoo-in. How great is that? You keep those two, you're locked. It's great. And I love the chorus we just sang, I will love you forever and sing. Isn't it amazing? We love the Lord. As a matter of fact, let's even just try that. Why don't you go ahead and look up, if you've just say, I love you, Lord. And just turn to the neighbor that's a stranger to you and just say, I love you too. Go ahead, just tell them that. Just say, I love you too, see? Yeah, look how easy that is in church. Why can't we do that out there on the street? Hello. Yeah. Yeah, some of your spouses are saying, thank you, Pastor Paul. It's first time in a long time. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. But Lord, thank you for opening your word to us today. Let's take a look here for a moment. Verse 8, I'm in Exodus 20 through verse 11. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now let's take a look. It's interesting here. When we take a look at verse 11, the Lord rested on the seventh. Did God need to take a rest break? I don't know, but isn't that interesting? I mean, there are some days when my life hits the fan. This must be the day God's resting. But what he was doing was taking an apex here, saying, man, this is the standard for sanity in life. I rested, and I want you to rest. Now, this is a command. This is not a suggestion, because God knows we kind of lose our bearings if we don't keep a day of rest and worship. We don't remember who we are, and we certainly don't remember who God is when we violate this very important principle. It's interesting, the Bureau of Labor Statistics had a poll, and of 1,000 workers interviewed, 2/3 of them said this, we do not want shorter work weeks, we want longer ones. We can't keep up with the work. Crazy. Bob Green, his columnist, he writes, in today's success-oriented world, it is not uncommon to find workaholics in the executive suites of our corporations. I found the most extreme workaholics in the United States. He cited one person, Robert Hyland, a VP and general manager of a radio station in St. Louis. This was his work schedule. He would get to work at 2:30 a.m. in the morning. That's 2.5 hours after midnight. And then he'd work all the way to 5 p.m. Now, that's 17-hour workday. That's over 100 hours because he worked 7 days a week. Now, he said he cut back because after his cancer surgery, he used to go in at 1:30 in the morning. When we take a look here, we have a capacity to do work to the point where we die. And it's interesting, we could always just say, man, there's like the sky's the limit. If anybody, work hard. And that's the beautiful thing about work, because God himself's a worker. You work hard, man, things will happen. Stuff will come around. But there's always going to be that 1 hour and you go home and just say, man, I just didn't get it all done. It kind of gnaws. How many just kind of find there's more of those evenings like I just didn't get it all done? Just kind of raise your hand. Just wish I just had that one more hour. And how many know when it comes down to God just taking you home to be with him, you're in the grave, somebody else is going to take the baton from you and just work it again. So work's never really done. So God knows this, and he knows if you and I need what we call now a mini vacation. We need to gauge our life, because if we don't have those intervals. We work 6 days, take the seventh day off, called a day of rest and worship. Now I do note here, and I work just a little sidebar, it says here in our text that 6 days God created everything. It's right there. 6 days, 6 literal days, I believe. 24-hour period. Sun up, sun down. Wow! Now, there are some that say, no, I still believe that everything was made billions and millions of years. And then there are some that say, I think these days are actually millenniums. In other words, 1,000 years per day, so 6,000 years. Well, if that's the case, God's using this. If it's the day he rested was the seventh day, that means it's 1,000 years. Well, let's go for it. Let's close shop and let's just go take our 1,000-year break. Huh? Woohoo! So when we look here, we just kind of need a little bit of explanation, but God commands us. He knows we need that break. He's aware that we are just at times can be consumed by our careers or our personal ambitions. And if we don't stop, we can actually think that what I do is all important. That's what happens when we violate this. It's only what I do. When I do it, God will understand, and that's what happens when a person violates the day of rest and worship. We forget who God is. We forget who we are. Samuel Wilberforce, he came along as a 19th century member of the English Parliament, and he helped outlaw slavery. You'll find that in the history books. What you don't find is Wilberforce was a devoted Christian. He really fought to overcome his own selfish ambitions. And he said this about the Sabbath: blessed be God for the day of rest and religious worship. For there earthly things reassume their true side and ambitions is stunted. He was talking about the Sabbath. So those checks and balances that we need is really found when we just say, I need that wonderful day of rest and worship. You'll note here on your notes now, in Mark chapter 2, verse 20, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He was responding to some pushback when his disciples were going into the fields to harvest a little bit, a handful of grain to eat. And the religious folks said, hey, they're working on the Sabbath. Shame. And he said, listen, the Sabbath was made for you, not people to go and somehow keep the Sabbath as if it's more sacred than people are. So when you look, there's going to constantly be those times that happen that will be important for us and questions that you might have. And thank you. Some of you have asked me these questions. Let's look at our notes here. One of them, which day should we worship the Lord? It's a good question. Bullet point there, whichever day is observed, observe it unto the Lord. Whatever day you pick, but pick one. Why do we say so? Well, let's look at some scripture here. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Can you see it on your notes? Romans 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans. Let's take a look, and may the Lord help us, because he knows we need to apply this principle for our own sanity and our own relationship with God. Look at Romans 14, verse 5. Can you see it there? Apostle Paul's writing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about, boy, you mature Christians, help the weaker Christians that they're not quite sure what they should and shouldn't be doing. And don't go tripping them out as observing all these things. Just keep it simple, saint. Make sure they've got Jesus in their life. Look at verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. And he who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, does not eat and gives God thanks. When we take a look here, the Apostle Paul saying, whatever day you pick, pick it. Don't be condemned, but pick a day. Interesting, he's saying, pick it as unto the Lord. That's where that word Sabbath starts to change just a little bit, and they start saying it's the day unto the Lord or the Lord's day. Let's go to Colossians 2. Can you see that there? Let's go to the right. You'll pass 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. You see Colossians 2? Verse 16, good, everybody. Glad to see you writing things down. Way to go. Way to grow. Verse 16, Colossians 2. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath or Sabbaths. which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Isn't that amazing? So Scripture is saying, don't lock on into some religious day. Don't say, man, that's it, and don't. I said, no, those are shadows. Because the real substance is a relationship with Christ. Don't get locked into religion. Get into a relationship. If all those things miss it out with you and Jesus, man, what good is that stuff? So that's what the Apostle Paul says. Don't let somebody judge you because you do this or that. Man, make sure you've got Jesus going on in your life. That's an important thing. Number two question, why did the early church change the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday, naming it the Lord's Day? Great question. Bullet point says there, because it was Sunday morning that Jesus resurrected. Let's look at something. In Acts chapter 20, let's go to the left a little bit. Acts 20, you'll find it right after the Gospels. In Acts 20, verse 7, love to have you see it in the Scriptures. Very helpful. Why do they call it the Lord's Day, and why Sunday? We're meeting on Sunday. The Sabbath traditionally has always been the last day of the week, which is Saturday. That is the Sabbath. But then somewhere along the line, Sunday started being the Sunday go-to-meeting setting. When did that take place? Well, we see that in the early church. The day Jesus resurrected, the first day of the week, they went to the tomb. Man, they recognize Jesus is the final response to all of the law and prophets. And man, transfer of revelation took place. And they were free. But we see here in verse 7, it says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart, the next day spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So we see here, it's the first day of the week, the Christians gathered together, and we have something else listed there. There's communion mentioned, and there is a message in there. So it was the first day of the week. Let's go to the right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. Past Romans, you'll see 1 Corinthians, verse 16, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Good. Scripture says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So the Scripture was talking about, man, there must have been on that day, the first day, Sunday, the Christians were encouraged. Man, has God prospered you with some income? Set that aside. It's on that first day of the week. Let's bring it on in. That was Sunday. But we see that that's how the early church started to operate and come together. Revelations chapter 1, verse 10 is also mentioned. That's where John, the apostle, is on the island of Patmos. Man, he has no great worship crew like we've got going on here. He's by himself. And verse 10 says, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That was a Sunday. In the Spirit means he was worshiping God and in tongues. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Then I heard a trumpet behind me, and behold, man, he started checking out Jesus in his glorified state. But he called it the Lord's day. He was having a private church service on that deserted island. So when we take a look here, isn't it interesting to note what is being said here? One of the things that I wanted to find kind of appealing in Exodus, when we were reading chapter 20, verse 10, the Lord says, on this particular day, whatever day now, the early church, whenever they picked it, it was holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. Now, that's important, because there'll be some people that say, well, man, isn't every day holy? I mean, every day's holy. Well, the problem with that no day becomes holy. It's like irrelevant. Kind of like if you've been at your workplace and they say a little sign is that, hey, we're all responsible to clean up the coffee break room. What happens? Nobody cleans up the coffee break room. It's the same with, well, isn't every day holy? Yes, but no. Because if you don't pick a day of rest and worship, And we're not just talking about, well, you got to always be praying and always be reading your Bible. No. Just have a portion of that day where you just know your body's going to refuel and you're going to attempt to focus in on the Lord somewhere in that day. Now, there are some people that need an extra day, and that's where midweek services come in. Man, that's awesome. We've got some great ones, mini church and age-appropriate gatherings. Perfect. But a day of rest and worship, God says. And in verse 10 of Exodus 20, he says, you will do no work, your family will do no work, your critters, your pets will do no work. And hey, if you've got any guests at home, have you seen that? Don't let them stay home and watch TV. Say, you're coming to church with me. Okay. Well, I thought that was a good one. So when we take a look here, it is worth noting, and we start to take into consideration number three then. How should we spend a day of rest and worship? In what way shall we do that? Well, when we look here and start to deal with that aspect, there are some things that I think come into line. The bullet points, enjoy a day unto the Lord. You saw that in Romans 14, unto the Lord. You can just say, well, we're going to take, I need a break. We need a refreshing break. Man, we miss all kinds of forms of any church or any prayer. Don't even have family devotion. Nothing. There's something lacking. I mean, I've gone on to vacations, and there's very little downtime where I'm really spending time with the Lord. Unlike an awesome men's retreat for guys in Jesus. And I come back feeling, physically I'm rested, but there's something gnawing at me. I'm lacking. I need my time with the Lord. Many years, I have never heard somebody say, I regret I went to church. I have often had people say, I've been so tired. I've got too much to do. I almost did not come to church. But I did, and I am so glad I did, because somewhere in worship, God touched me. He revitalized me. I feel renewed, and I'm so glad I came to church. Man, isn't that important? It's God's prescribed remedy, a mini vacation for each person. So important when we get a chance to do just that. Look at next point. Enjoy a day for worship with family and other Christians. Come on, everyone. We need to be together. Man, that's so important. If you look here, we've got Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Can you find Acts 2, 24? In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, excuse me, Acts 2, 42. And in verse 41, the church is multiplying. It's just erupting. 3,000 people get saved. And immediately in Acts 2, 42, they continued steadfastly, it says, in the apostle doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Man, they were together in fellowship. We need each other. They studied the scripture, which means doctrine. They had communion together and they prayed together. That's important. We need this environment. It is God's design. You are the church, not structure, not buildings, not programs. True, people are his church. Therefore, I think it's a cool invention, streaming live worship settings and even sermons. But friends, a person will not get what God intended. Those wonderful streaming lives are great for shut-ins and invalids. But for a person to say, I'll just stay home and watch the sermon, I think they're going to find themselves not aware of what's going on. They're going to start losing focus of who they are and who God is, because we need this environment where God operates in unique ways, far greater often than when we are by ourselves. And then finally, the third, enjoy a day we choose to be refreshed and revitalized in the Lord. What day is that? You select that day. My day really is a Monday, though I had a great Saturday with the men's breakfast, love hanging out. Sunday today, what a day. Thank you for being here. Love seeing you, taking a look across the aisle. Oh, so-and-so, man, they're still following Jesus. Right on, yeah. Pumps me up. Then I go, and Lord, what is it that you have for me? And just kind of refresh physically, renew myself. Very important. A day of rest and worship. Let me bring in Isaiah. You see the reference there, Isaiah chapter 58. Can you find that while we welcome David up? Isaiah chapter 58. God says, come and grow. Come and be refreshed. Come and be revitalized. Is that it, Lord? Yes, that's it. And he put it in one of the big commands. Honor the Lord's day and keep it holy. He called honor the Sabbath. Keep it holy as unto the Lord. Have a good time. Cut it up. Enjoy yourself. Make sure you find that time where you engage God somewhere in that day of rest. Make it a point of worship. You will be so glad that you did. In Isaiah chapter 58, look at verse 13. And this is really a promise to you and to me. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on the holy day, my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, capital H, God, honor God, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. Problem is, sometimes we kind of think we do our own bidding and we'll find our own way. I like where Scripture says so clearly in Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. Write that down. Check it out. 75, 6 and 7. You're wanting a promotion in your job. That Scripture says promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west or from the south. Promotion comes from the Lord, who raises up one and puts down another. That verse says, if you will just spend time with me and not do your own thing, and he knows, he's the one you and I want to impress, I guarantee you will ride on the hills. I want to say, there's a lot of darkness that are around all of our lives. God wants to elevate you on a high hill. People say, what is it that's so different and wondrous about you? God wants to get people out of darkness, out of their despair. Is there anyone in their environment that can bring them hope? It looks like their life is put together. I believe God's going to use you. That little shining city on a hill. That's you. That's you. People say, there's a point of reference. There's a point of reference. One last verse is Deuteronomy 18, verse 8, or excuse me, 8, verse 18 of Deuteronomy, 8, verse 18. And that is where God says, remember, it is the Lord who has given you strength, power to get wealth. If you're lacking money, God's the one that gives you the wealth. He also says, when you go and your houses multiply, and your possessions increase, beware, in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, you don't forget the Lord who has given you the power to get wealth. There it is. Now you and I know that. But isn't it just nice? That's what a day of rest and worship does. We remember who we are in God, and we remember who God is to us. Love that. Well, friends, what a great day. I'm going to invite you to go ahead and close your Bibles with me. I'd like to pray with you, and let's just believe the Lord for some wonderful things. Would you stand to your feet with me for a moment? God is here. If you're needing a miracle in your life, we will in a moment have people come up here. Please consider pausing and letting them pray with you. Boy, Jesus just loves you so much. Wouldn't it be great to turn everything over to the Lord? Everything over to the Lord. Not just on a Sunday, but just like, Lord, you have everything in my life. And just test him for the 1 month. Just 1 month. Just see what that month turns out when you just sell out to God. Because if it doesn't work out, man, you can always go back to the garbage you and I were a part of, huh? Huh? Yeah, just go by. It's not paying off serving God. You give your life to Jesus. He's here. We welcome you to do that. Let's take a brief moment of silence and just allow the Lord to remind us of some things we may have sung or heard or read that you know is specifically gold for you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We're grateful, Lord, for the way with which you're working in our lives. And you're just so smart. Thank you, Lord. Some of us can't, they say, afford a vacation. But, Lord, you said, no worries. Here's a mini vacation we all are entitled to. Lord, let everyone now, as they go, feel so refreshed and so renewed that even those who need a good nap are going to have a solid Sunday go-to-meeting nap. Lord, thank you for blessing everybody's life. Their pursuit of you, their relationship with others. We love you, Lord, and we love our neighbor. Thank you for bringing a miracle in Jesus' mighty name. Those who are helping pray, would you individuals come forward, please, so people can see, oh, there's somebody praying. I want to thank you for coming to Hope Chapel today. If you need prayer, please go and gather your children, bring them on back, and we'll pray. We won't go anywhere. We're glad that you're here. What an outstanding day. Thank you for making an exceptional Sunday at Hope Chapel. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming, everyone. You're dismissed.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.